All right, we begin our board equalization hearings for November 4th, 2021. And in presence of Alicia Greenaway, Greg Garcia, and the chair is Joe Chris. Also here is Jennifer Medellis, who is our new clerk to the board, and as well as myself, Shirley Jones. And we will begin. Alicia Greenaway was unable to attend last October 21st, our first initial board hearing or board meeting. And so we will begin with swearing her in. So Alicia, if you would, raise your right hand. And if you solemnly swear that you will perform your duties as a member of the Franklin County Board of Equalization in a fair and impartial manner.
I do.
Excellent. All right. So that takes care of the board. All three have now been sworn in for the new year, for 2021. The next thing that we will do, we will stop this recording temporarily. We are going to be having Ricky Bland, who is from the Department of Revenue. She's going to be doing some teaching, some training. And so we will begin again when we have the first hearing, which will be at 10:30. So we will go ahead and stop the recording so we can do some training, and then we will return again.
And new assessor John.
Terry?
He came in.
Yes.
Hi. This is Shirley. So what we're going to do is we appreciate your patience and waiting for us there.
Yes.
And what we will do then is we will go ahead and begin. We have our board, which is Alicia Greenaway, Greg Garcia, and then Joe Christ, who is our chair. And we also have present Nikki Morgan.
Morning.
And then we have an observer, Shannon Taylor. We also have Jennifer Medellis, who is our new board clerk, and then, of course, myself, Shirley Jones. Now, I am not sure, is Christensen King on the line as well?
Yeah, Joe Crowder, I'm with Christensen King. I'm on the line, yes.
Okay, great. Welcome, Joe.
Yeah, so thank you.
Our initial Board of Equalization hearing is Petition BE-2021-01 for Parcel 554-394-011. The owner is Teresa Worth.
And Shirley, I need to make a comment.
Okay.
My husband used to rent a hangar from Miss Worth. We do not, or he does not currently rent a hangar from her. I do not personally know her, never met her. And Joe, what is your last name?
My last name's Crowder.
Oh, okay. And we do, my husband and I personally use Christensen and King as our accountants and have for 20 plus years. And Joe, that's why I asked, because the other Joe happens to be my personal accountant.
And so, Joe reads very good too.
So I just want to let that all out and in front of the board if anybody has a problem.
Excellent. Thank you, Alicia. Okay, the other thing is that I would like to mention is that this is a commercial hearing, and therefore the petition is scheduled for 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have 10 minutes to highlight points of the evidence they have provided. The last 10 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board. Now, as far as everyone present, both the appellant as well as our appraiser, do each of you who will be testifying today affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
I do. Terry Worth does.
I do.
Okay, both have stated that they do, both Nikki and Terry. And Joe, our board chair, will proceed.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and Joe, and myself, Joe Crist, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Medellis. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are, to some extent, judicial, as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to provide the assessment, prove that the assessment is correct. The hearing will be recorded, and all testimony is under oath. The clerk has issued the oath of testimony, and you have both taken that oath. Following your hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity is at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by you and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. The appellant will present your case first, and then the assessor will present his or her case. Please begin with the presentation of your case, Ms. Worth.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for this opportunity today. So since last year, nothing has changed on our end. Nothing has changed on that property at all for me, with the exception that I'm making less money now than I did before. I leased the land from the Port of Pasco, and I have an improvement on that land. It is a metal structured building, 12 hangars encased in one building, separated by metal, steel, if you will, making 12 individual units. I have given you a historical valuation of how much money I make, how much money goes out, and I think if you look at that every year, you'll notice that I make less and less. Just last month, Port of Pasco raised my rent from $675.34 to $744.19. I've never been able to pass on these additional charges to my renters because the market does not support a higher number. My rent is $230 a month. Comparable hangars next door to me that are owned by the port are currently renting for $212 per month. I cannot raise my rent, so I make less money. This is a losing proposition for me. I have no guarantee of a lease after 2033. I have no guarantee. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't say, hey, Terry, we want, you know, to offer you an extension, or we'll rent this, we'll, you know, land from you a little while longer. Or they can say to me, hey, you need to cease operation and you need to remove your building. And then I would have to do that at my cost. My building has no creature comforts, no insulation, no water, no plumbing. I have minimal electric. It's not sealed or airtight. Water gets under the door. When the wind blows, everything gets dusty in there. It is just a shed on a piece of concrete. Okay? There are no reasons for terrible sales. Similar, the main concern for similar bare bones utilities that would serve as an appropriate indication of comparable value. And I really feel that the income approach that I have presented really demonstrates the value of this property, and I believe that the board has looked at it in that regard in the past, if you saw the last decisions by the equalization board. And with that, I'm going to ask Joe to chime in.
All right, thanks, Terry. Yeah, and looking at the income approach that Terry sent you there, using a cap rate of either 8 or 9%, it comes in far lower than $220,000 that we show on there. And the
The other thing that's not figured in the income approach as is, that lease is extended. Now, that lease expires in 2033, that's 13 years from now. If you looked at it, it says they're going to get, if I use the numbers from the county, $16,129 per year over the next 13 years, that's only $210,000. Like, not discounted. So to not count in that lease and to discount at a lower rate than what we're showing in that previous verified piece of property, especially since the property is in bare bones, very little utilities, anything like that, and is getting old. That's most of what I've got for right now.
Yeah, I would say $3,000, $2,800, $2,900 to have the entire roof resealed. You know, that's a big chunk out of my revenue. And I wanted to make sure I had someone tell me that they had water on their wings, and I wanted to make sure that that roof was sealed properly. It's the second time that I've done it. But I always take care of my tenants, and I make sure that that property is kept as best sealed up as I possibly can make it. But that was an expense last year that came into play. Other than that, the maintenance on it is not that bad, but it is getting older. It's been up since 1993, and eventually it's going to be unusable.
Joe,
do you have anything else to add?
I think that's fair. The thing that doesn't have insulation is just essentially a metal shed sitting there. It's very tough to seal up. You have dirt and water coming under the doors and that sort of thing. And you're not, it's a place to park an airplane. And pretty much that's it. There's nothing other than other amenities. Nothing else except as a park anywhere else. And I know on the county comparables that they call comparables, all of those are far different square footages. Similar time frames, but just looking at the pictures, they're more structurally sound than what this Terry Speaks property was able to hang up. It's just not a fair comparison in trying to compare those with what she had. The closer comparison is the one owned by the port, which is closer by, but there aren't any comparable sales in the meantime recently to what Sharky has here.
And the port's been renting for 2-1201 as an objective care at the Dallas Airport yesterday, the airport manager, and of course the port doesn't pay taxes or land lease fees. I haven't blocked anybody's support recently, somebody go over there and save $20, but in the past that has happened. I've been very fortunate to have them fully rented. I think that they were almost completely fully rented in 2020, so I don't enjoy that all the time. That doesn't happen every year.
Yeah, those numbers I think show on your spreadsheet too.
Well, I think that's it. I think that's how we want to let you know about our property.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll now hear from the assessor's office.
Hi, this is Nikki Morgan. So I'm just going to quickly walk you through my packet, make sure to point out the important parts. So I think the appellant's done a good job just explaining that this is a 12,576 square foot T hangar with 12 units located at the Pasco Airport, 4412 Stearman Avenue. So pages 2 and 3 just talk about the Franklin County appraisal methodology, which is really Washington State appraisal methodology. We're required to be at 100% of market value annually, so that is why the value continues to change every year. We're required to do so by state statute. Pages 4 and 5 outline the characteristics of the property. Year built in our system, 1994. We have it in low quality, average condition for its age. So you've got our value report there. Pages 6 and 7 are the sketch and the photo of the subject property. So again, very basic, just as the appellant stated, a very basic metal building out on lease land at the airport. The aerial picture is on page 8. Page 9 shows our statistics for this area. It's called the Neighborhood 100 or the 100 area. So this is your commercial sales that took place in 2020 for 2021 values. And you can see that the median assessment ratio is 89%. So overall, we know that we're low. Our market here in Pasco is moving so rapidly, we're having a really hard time keeping up. Page 10 is probably the most relevant and important page. There are three sales that have taken place in 2020 and 2021. They're numbered sales 1 through 3. So sale number 1 happened in June of 2021 at 4324 Stearman Avenue, which is again right next to the subject, for $99,500. If you look over, this doesn't just give you the sales, this gives you the valuation method for every hangar out there. So these are all the hangars on lease land at the airport and how we're valuing them. Some are storage hangars and some are T hangars. And you will note that all three sales are of storage hangars. That means it's one hangar, one size, one leasable unit. And then the T hangars are down below, like the subject property. The pictures on page 11 show that they are very comparable to the subject. While they don't have multiple units, they are base metal shells on lease land. You park an airplane in it. They don't have any extra amenities. They don't have offices. They don't have any of the other things that wouldn't make them comparable. They're being valued at $33.40 per square foot. If you look down at the T hangars, most of them are being valued at right around $26 a square foot, and then there's the last three in blue. Those T hangars are big. The subject is the very last one in dark blue. They're bigger, they have multiple units, and I've taken into consideration the appellant's concerns for having to lease multiple units in a T hangar. Rather than just having one leasable space, I just have to worry about filling one unit. It's easy to lease. This has that barrier of I can have some vacancy and still do a lot of work to lease these spaces. That's why they're valued at $21.37 per square foot. We've taken the quality into consideration. We've taken the size into consideration. We've taken the multiple leasable units into consideration when valuing the property. You can see that with the approach used, these sales that took place were still incredibly low. These sales are so similar to the subject, and we'll get more into that later, but valuing them the way that we have and the subject significantly lower, we're still overall at 78% on these hangar sales that just happened and continue to happen. So the sales price per square foot for these were $49.75, $45.14, and $35.71. We're valuing the subject at $21.37 per square foot. So the pictures for the comparable sales are on page 11. You can see that they're very similar. The income approach that was used to value the property is on page 12. At the very top, you can see that the subject is first with its square footage, and the contract lease amount was $2.60 per square foot, where market at the time was $2.25 per square foot. So while Terry's concerned that she can't increase her rents, she was actually one of the highest ones that I received when we did our income and expense questionnaire. So she's already receiving that, and at 100% occupancy, that's actually really good for the market. We're valuing it as if 5% vacant. So if you follow me down the right-hand side, this is market. This is how it was valued. Market rent of $2.25 per square foot, 5% vacant, 40% expenses when the subject only has 35%. So the 6% capitalization rate is where we've taken into consideration the difference between the storage hangars and the T hangars that are very large. In yellow at the bottom, you can see that the actual cap rate for storage hangars at the airport is 3.84%. That's a very low cap rate, indicating a very high value. That's from actual sales that took place. This is a real cap rate, very relevant. I almost doubled it for these large T-hangers. So I've more than accounted for the difference in these properties in the valuation. If we would have used the 3.84, it would be valued at $420,000. Page 13 is an email from me to Tara at the port. There were concerns brought up last year in the hearing, so I just wanted to make sure that I covered that in case it was brought up this year. The port did, you can read it, but they wrote the policy that starts on page 15 in February of this year. It wasn't something new. It was just something they had to put in writing, which you can see from Tara. Nothing changed. On the very last page, page 6 of the report, page 20 of mine, it talks about lease extensions and reversions. All of these parcels that sold, all these sales, these hangars that continue to sell, they are all under the same limitations and regulations. So they're all up for renewal in approximately the same year. If the airport changes its master plan, they will all be impacted. If they deny a request to renew or extend, they would have to remove the hangars, all of them, not just one or two. The master plan, if that region of the airport is needed for something different, it would impact all of these. So then you have a massive amount of pages, and I'll just take you to page 48, where this talks about the subject property's renewal term. So as she pointed out, it's set to expire officially in 2033. And then you have the leases for the three sales. So page 67 is sale number one. It's set to expire in 2026. So you can see that under number two, term. The length of the term is 20 years with a 2 5-year extension option. Page 94 is sale number two. It has a 20-year term with 2 10-year extension options, set to expire in 2033, same year as the subject. And page 146 is sale number three, 20-year term, 2 10-year options to extend, set to expire in 2036. So market value of a property is what you could obtain with a willing seller and buyer in the open market. We're seeing sales of similar properties that are indicating that the lease renewal extension limitations are not impacting market value at this time.
You finished, Nikki?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Worth, you got 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Yes. Thank you. Let me just make a couple of comments and then Joe's going to jump in. If I can sell that hangar for $420,000, I'd do it tomorrow. I think that's what Nikki said I could sell it for. Terrific. I would love to do that. It's not even close. I have not been able to raise that rent out there since my husband died and my hangar became mine in 2002. That's almost 20 years I have not been able to raise the rent. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that the comps are not comparable. And the other thing about the lease, everybody's in the same boat out there at the airport. Leases are not given. It's just to support the size that they don't need your property anymore because all that property is leased. But the properties that you mentioned, they're not even close to the runway. My T-hanger thing is right off of the runway. You're on the runway after you take it's very close to the runway. If you're familiar with that at all, I think there's a map in your paperwork where you can see that. I think that my property is much more desirable if they are going to expand the airport than the ones that Nikki mentioned. And they are not comparable. They do have creature comfort in them. And the other thing I wanted to say is that on the three previous appeals, valuation approach was never considered as comparable. The income approach has been, the decision of the board is based on an income analysis. That was in 2017. In 2020, the decision of the board is based on the estimated cost of construction less depreciation, along with consideration of the limited market value based on the remaining years of the lease. Nothing has changed. I'm still in the same boat. Joe, go ahead.
All right, let me just undo that. I've got 3 points to make on that. Is that those comparable sales, we're comparing, or the county is comparing single unit rental to a multiple unit, 12 unit rental, which is not really a fair comparison in any way. Second point is that the cap rate used there, 6% or even saying it's 3.84 is not anywhere close to the industry average that is at 7.23 for commercial properties. And so looking at that, a 6% rate is really driving up that value to come up with a higher value there. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that when the lease expires in 2033, that tanker is going to be, is that 40 years old? 41 years old, something like that? So at that time, is that tanker going to need to be replaced? Is it going to need major repair? What's going to need to happen with that? Because even last year, I mean, they spent $3,000 to refill the roof. There's parts of that place that are needing, or over the next several years, are going to need a lot of repair on that too. So it's not like it's a brand new hangar or anything like that being out there. It's not included yet. And I guess the other point I have is that in the county equalization, or in the county income approach here, they dropped the lease expense down to about $3,000 less than what the actual lease expense was, which I don't know that that makes any sense at all.
You have 1 minute. You have 1 minute to finish.
Okay. Yeah, and Terry, that's what I got.
Thank you. I'd just like to thank everybody for letting me appeal. Thank you for your time today.
Okay. Thank you. 5 minutes.
Sure. The concern was brought up that the comparables used are single rental units. I think I pointed out that on page 10, we have accounted for the difference in that. The sales price per square foot for those range between 35 and 49. We have the subject valued at 21. Same thing with the cap rate. Terry was concerned that I quoted the $420,000 from page 12. That's obviously not where we have it valued. I'm not saying that that's what it is worth. I'm saying that we don't have it valued there because I increased the cap rate. We wouldn't use an industry average cap rate when we have actuals. We work really hard at what we do. We spend a lot of time sending out income and expense questionnaires when we revalue these properties. So we had plenty of data, actual data, from the Pasco Airport to come up with what was typical in the market here locally. That's always going to be better to use than an industry standard. The 2023 hangar will be 40, when it expires in 2033, it will be 40 years old. You can see the age of the comps on page 10. They're all built 1994 to 1997. So they're the similar age, they're similar quality, similar construction. They're just single units, which we've already taken into consideration.
Okay, thank you, Nikki. Are there any questions from the board?
I don't have any, no.
Okay, Ms. Worth, I have one question. The capitalization rate of 8 and 9, how did you determine those rates?
Joe, can you speak to that?
Mr. Krause, are you still there?
All right, thank you. Yes, the 89% is what I was put together by Jeff. He's worked with Terry on these in the past. The only thing I can say about that is that is close to just the standard capitalization rates that's out there for commercial property is 7.23%, just a little bit higher than that. I think just looking at the risk of it and everything else, we put it a little bit higher than the standard there, but it, I think that's how it's fair.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank
All right, thank you for your time. This concludes this session.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
At this time, we will go ahead and close this session for hearing for DE 2021-01 for parcel 554, 394-011, owner Teresa Wirt. And we will pause. Our next hearing will start in 2 minutes. All right. Our next hearing is now 11 o'clock. On November 4th, 2021, and our next hearing is for petition BE 2021-02 for parcel 1164, 20028, the owners, Darren and Jennifer Warnick. On the petition, Mr. and Mrs. Warnick have stated and marked that they will not be in attendance for this hearing. So we will move forward, and the board chair, Joe, go ahead.
Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin County Board of Equalization. The board members are Alicia Greenaway, Gregory Garcia, and myself, Joe Christ, as chair. Our clerk is Jennifer Medelez. The board is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with the powers that are to some extent judicial as those of certain federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. Our role is to review the facts presented by both parties and determine the market value of the property as of January 1st of the assessment year. The law grants presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the petitioner to prove the assessment is incorrect. The hearing will be recorded and all testimony is under oath. Our clerk will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Monica?
I, Monica. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. Again, Mr. and Mrs. Warnick are not present at the hearing. Monica Crutchfield is our appraiser for this hearing. Monica, do you testify today and affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much.
Following the hearing, the board will meet to weigh the evidence and make a final determination. We will issue a written decision to you, which you will receive after about 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals, and a notice of the appeal opportunity will be at the bottom of the written decision. The board is in receipt of all documentary data provided by Mr. and Mrs. Warnick and the assessor, and we have reviewed it. Since the appellant is not here, we will immediately start with the assessor presenting his or her case. Monica, you may begin.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity to explain our assessment for the property located at 5011 Pamplona Drive. The original assessment or initial assessment that went out on this home was $338,000. During the appeal time frame, the homeowner did call in, and I was able to go over the characteristics and of their home with both of them, and they did state that the covered back porch was not there, so they did not have a covered back porch. I did visit the home to verify that and removed it from our assessment. So I am recommending a proposed value of $334,800 today to the board. If you would please follow me to page 6 and 7, which is the property's, the subject property's photo and sketch. You'll see the back covered porch there in the sketch, which has been removed and would therefore bring the assessed or the recommended proposed assessed value to be $334,800. In the state of Washington, state law requires that assessors appraise property at 100% of its true and fair market value in money according to the highest and best use of the property. There were 214 sales that happened in 2020 in the subject property's neighborhood. So there was quite extensive amount of sales.
If you would please follow me to page 11, this is going to show our stats for the subject property's neighborhood. Again, state statute is that we appraise or assess properties at 100% market value. Our level of assessment in the subject property's neighborhood is 95.02%. I would like to mention that the one-story homes in this neighborhood are the assessment level is at 95.10%. If you would please follow me to page 17, where you will see the subject properties breakdown of the recommended assessed value once the covered porch was removed, $334,800 price per square foot. Our assessed price per square foot is $175.29. The sales comparison approach with direct comparable sales was not used to establish value. The sales were not adjusted for differences nor compared to the subject property to calculate the market value for the subject property. I wanted to mention the comparables that the appellant did provide us with. I do appreciate that. I just wanted to mention that two of them happened in 2021. Therefore, they were not included in our analysis. The other two, one was listed with a real estate company. It sold for well over the asking price, and the other was not listed. So it wasn't exposed to our current market with a real estate company. There were the four that I did provide sales price per square foot range is have a low of $84.65 price per square foot and to $210.40 price per square foot. And again, our subject property is assessed at $175.29 price per square foot.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board members?
No. Okay.
Oh. All right, guys. You're welcome. Thank you.
If there are no questions, we'll consider this session closed.
Okay, this concludes petition VE-2021-02 for parcel 1164-20028, Darren and Jennifer Warning, owners. We will go ahead and recess so the board may discuss and make decisions on this parcel.
Hello, this is Joe Christ. I'm the chair for the Board of Equalization. These are the final decisions for November 4th, 2021. Regarding petition number BE-2021-01, parcel number 55439-4011, the petitioner's name is Teresa Worth. The board decided to sustain the assessor's value of $268,800 and is based on the following reasons. First, the income analysis approach used by the assessor and the income approach used for similar T-hangers resulted in an equivalent value per square foot for the parcel being evaluated. The owners, and also the owner's income approach, we felt did not have sufficient evidence to support her proposed capitalization rate, which was much higher than what the assessor determined. With regard to petition number BE-2021-02, parcel number 11642-0028, the petitioner's name is Darren and Jennifer Warnick. The board decided to sustain the assessor's corrected value of $334,800 and is based on the assessor determining that the porch was not covered and therefore reduced the value, And because of comparable sales, the assessor's value was within market value. We also felt that the owner did not provide sufficient comparables to substantiate their value. And two of the four comparables that were from sales this year, which are outside the evaluation period. This completes petitions BE2021-01 and BE2021-02. This completes the hearing for November 4th, 2021. The meeting is now adjourned.